What do you do when God just doesn't make sense? Well, I think in those moments, God in His infinite wisdom has seen fit to preserve the book of Habakkuk to help guide us through those challenging moments in life when we are tempted to question God and ask God why. The book of Habakkuk is a very unique book because this book is not so much a collection of the prophet's words to the people, but it's a record of the prophet's words to God. It's just three chapters, but in these three chapters, we have an ongoing conversation between the prophet and God. Because the prophet Habakkuk kept asking this same reoccurring question. It's the question, why? In Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 3, two times in that first verse, he says that twice, why? Why, God, are you sitting idly by? Why, God, will you let these things happen? We drop down 10 more verses in Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 13. For the third time, he says, why? Over and over and over, he keeps asking God, why? He lived during a time when Israel was deep in sin and deep in idolatry. As a result, there was so much wickedness and iniquity in the land, and God's faithful, righteous remnant was being afflicted and persecuted and tormented. He had been praying, though. He had been crying out for God to rise up as the avenger of His people and champion the cause of the righteous. But from his standpoint, it seemed as if God was not listening. Where are you, God? Why won't you step in? Why are you letting wickedness win? Why are you letting your people suffer? Why? In Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, Habakkuk teaches us that the just live by faith. That's interesting because Habakkuk's the one writing about that. Living by faith, living by trust, living by obedience. And he's questioning God three times in this book. That verse is quoted three times in our New Testament. Once in Romans chapter 1, verse 17. A second time in Galatians chapter 3, verse 11. And a third time in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 38. God's righteous ones, God's just ones, they live by faith. But you know what? Habakkuk was not a man of perfect faith. And in this book, we find Habakkuk on a journey of faith. In the opening two chapters, we find Habakkuk wrestling with doubt. But read chapter 3. The book closes with the prophet making this great decision to trust God and praise God for who God is. The book begins and he's puzzled, he's perplexed, chapters 1 and chapter 2. But then it ends with him again praising God for who God is and what God does. It's a journey of faith, teaching us to trust God when, we might even say especially when, God doesn't make sense. In this book, notice two things with me tonight. In this journey of Habakkuk's faith. Notice number one, the prophet was puzzled with God. That's chapters 1 and 2. He was so puzzled. He was so perplexed. He was so confused. And thus he asked God, why? But notice in these two chapters, two complaints that Habakkuk had concerning God. The first one's found in chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. In those verses, there are six words Habakkuk uses to describe the landscape of his day. There was violence, there was iniquity, there was wrongdoing, there was destruction, there was strife, and last but not least, number 6, there was contention. That was his world. That was his culture. That's the background of this book. The results in verse 4. God's law has been paralyzed. It's as if God's law, God's word, is null and void. In other words, folks are living with no regard for God and no respect for their fellow man. Sounds a lot like our culture, doesn't it? It's almost, if you will, a mirror image of what we see right now in this world, in this country, and in our local communities. And it had this great man of God troubled. He was praying about this. He was wanting so badly for God to triumph and God to champion the cause of His people and put a swift end in judgment to all this wickedness. But it seemed like, verse 3, God was just sitting idly by, doing nothing. How many times have you thought the same thing this prophet's thinking right now? God, how long will you let this world stand? How long will you let wicked people reign and rule? God, how long will you let wickedness win? When are you going to step up and avenge the cause of your people? When will you do something in this world, in our lives, in our churches? But folks, keep on reading, because God answers the prophet, beginning in verse 5 down through verse 11. In verse 3, Habakkuk says, God, you're just sitting idly by. God, I'm praying to you, but you're doing nothing. But watch verse 5. God says, oh no, Habakkuk, I am doing a work that is so great, if I were to tell you, you would not even believe it. Habakkuk says, God's not working. God says, oh Habakkuk, I am working. As God explains, in His power, in His providence, He is raising up the Chaldeans. He's raising up that mighty Assyrian nation who will come like swift eagles and bring judgment on the people of Israel. It's going to happen. You see, God really does reign in the kingdoms of men. Daniel teaches us that. God really does set up rulers and take down rulers. Daniel 2 verse 21. God really does reign as King of kings and Lord of lords over both heaven and earth. Isaiah chapter 6 verse 1. And God says, I'm in control. I've got a plan. And I'm going to work things out. Folks, whenever you and I look around at this world in which we live, God's still in control. Yes, it might seem like wickedness is winning. Yes, it might seem like God's righteous people are being tormented and afflicted, but God is in control. And could it be that just as it was in the days of Habakkuk, God is behind the scenes working through His power and His providence? That's his first complaint, because he's perplexed. But he's even more perplexed now that God has answered. And beginning in chapter 1, verse 12, all the way to chapter 2, verse 1, we find his second complaint against God. He's perplexed. God's answered his first complaint, but he says this, God, I know who you are. You're a righteous God. You're a holy God. In fact, you're so holy, you cannot even look upon iniquity. And so, verse 13, how can you sit idly by? Why, an even more wicked nation rises up to punish wicked people like your people. Habakkuk could not in his mind reconcile the fact that a holy God could use unholy people. Well, he's forgotten his history, hasn't he? God's been doing this all throughout the course of time. Again, Daniel 2 verse 21. God raises up rulers. God takes down rulers. God's been doing this all along. And Assyria should be no different. God has a plan. But in Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 1, after his second complaint, God, how could you do this? He thinks he has the answer. I will sit like a watchman and I'll wait on my God to respond. And folks, God does respond. In chapter 2, God answers this final doubt and concern of the prophet. You see, just like God knew the sins of Israel, God knew the sins of those wicked Chaldeans. And just as mighty God had a plan to avenge His people and deal with the sins of His wicked servants. He had a plan to deal with those wicked people in the Chaldeans as well. And lest Habakkuk fail to realize this, God does something incredible. God presents a series of five woes upon the Chaldean people throughout the end of chapter 2. First, there is a woe for their plunder in chapter 2, verses 6 to 8. They would trample nations. They would overpower nations. They would take plunder from those nations. And God says, woe to the Chaldeans for that. Number two, there's a second woe, and it's a woe for their greed in verses 9 through 11. They were drunk on greed. They wanted more and more and more possessions, and thus, seeking world domination, they would trample these nations and take that plunder. God says, woe to the Chaldeans for that. Number three, woe for their cruelty, verses 12 through 14. They were ruthless. They would impale folks alive. They would skin individuals they captured. They were ruthless. They were feared. And God says, woe to them for your cruelty. Number four, He says, woe to you because you are harmful to other people. In verses 15 down through verse 18, God again highlights their ruthlessness, their viciousness, their violence. They're harmful and malicious to other individuals. And then last but not least, number five, God says, woe to you because of your idolatry, chapter 2, 19 and 20. You bow before wooden gods who really aren't gods. You see, God knew their sins. God would use them, as Isaiah foretold, the rod of His anger and the staff of His wrath. But God would then break that staff in judgment upon the Chaldeans. Folks, we might not always understand the what and the whys of God. Habakkuk definitely didn't. He's a prophet of God who is teaching us to live by faith, chapter 2, verse 4. But folks, God is always right. And God's ways are always best. And God's timing is always the right time. And our faith ought to be great in the God that we serve. So that even in those moments where God doesn't make sense and what God is doing and what God is not doing doesn't make sense, we should still trust Him because we know He's working for our good always. But watch number two as we close out this lesson. In this journey of this man's faith, he was puzzled with God. And there's those two complaints, both of which God answered. But it came to a point where there was no more questions. There was no more complaints, no more doubts. That's chapter 3. And in chapter 3, number 2, we find the prophet praising God. Isn't that beautiful? A man who's saying, why, why, why? Now he's praising God for who God is and what God does. Read chapter 3. In Habakkuk chapter 3, Habakkuk praises God for three reasons. Because of His mercy, verses 1 to 5. Because of His power, verses 6 through 16. Then as the chapter ends, he praises God for His grace. My prayer for you, and my prayer for myself, is that our doubts might be turned to a great desire to want to live for God, to want to honor God, and praise God. That our frustrations, our concerns, our perplexities might be transformed into reasons to love God and praise Him because of His mercy, His power, and His grace. Oh yes, the just shall live by faith. Habakkuk 2 verse 4. A faith that trusts God even when God doesn't make sense.